Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And today, once again, we have back with us Chris Rubin from Adopt a Shelter, adoptashelter.com. And he's just so excited from his recent trip and the whole thing, the big pet expo in Dallas. So if you don't live in Dallas, do you have to do without? No, you don't. They have them all over the place. And we're going to be talking with Ethan Barnett and, of course, Chris Rubin once again from Adopt a Shelter to find out how you can enjoy a pet expo where you live. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks again, as always, for having me, Deb. A privilege and a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, who have you brought today? It's always nice to meet your friends.
Well, you know, normally we talk about senior animals, special needs animals, but we as AdoptAShelter.com have been partnering with the folks at Amazing Pet Expos. And Amazing Pet Expos, they put on 30-plus consumer pet and mega adoption events in cities all across the United States and have for many years. And what this really has done for us is bring more rescues and more consumers to AdoptAShelter.com. It's a great partnership, but it's also, they provide such a wonderful forum for many shelters and rescues to display these animals that need forever homes, and their expos are very well attended. And so it makes an even greater opportunity for these animals to find forever homes. And I just thought it was appropriate, since Ethan and I are going to be together at the Dallas Pet Expo this coming weekend, that he join us from the middle of Oklahoma on his way to Dallas. Welcome, Ethan.
Oh, it's all coming now.
Thanks so much,
Ethan,
Chris.
Are you gearing up for the big show, Ethan?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an annual event in Dallas that, as Chris said, is extremely well attended. It's a destination type event. Pet lovers look for it every year, and we couldn't be more excited to be returning to the Dallas Market Hall this weekend.
I hear there's a special event with motorcycles this time around. What's that all about?
Well, as I told you, go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah, I was going to let Chris touch on that because he's kind of spearheaded this event, and he's always great to put together some really awesome promotional opportunities, but really cool, unique features to bring to the Amazing Pet Expo.
So I guess every year it's different, and every place it's different. When you said 33 or 30, that's like one every 2 weeks. Ethan, how do you keep it fresh?
Well, we do have kind of a turnkey formula that works for every show. We follow that same specific formula. The setup is very similar. But in terms of keeping it fresh, that's where we rely on the local communities to provide that local flair. And, for example, that the motorcycle event that Chris has put together is unique for the Dallas Pet Expo. And we really try to be representative of each individual community, even though we're bringing the same show across the country.
Well, Chris, what's it been like for you to connect up with the Pet Expo?
Well, it's been wonderful, like I said, because they not only bring together the rescue community into one place, but they also bring together animal lovers. So everybody at these expos, including the fellow attendees, are all animal lovers because they tend to be in the animal companion animal business somehow. And, of course, that makes – and everybody shops online. So we at Adopt-A-Shelter – love that because everybody is there for the same reason. But what I have found to be unique is that what he calls a formula that kind of stays the same, it is still such an incredible formula that brings together all these rescue groups. And in the case of Dallas, this coming weekend is the Dallas Pet Expo, but simultaneously is also the Las Vegas Pet Expo. June 4th and 5th is the Seattle Pet Expo. Deb, you should go check it out for yourself. And
Medusa. Nice. Well, I'm in Vancouver, so it's a bit of a ways and a border to cross, but it's nice to know that they're all over the place and people can get to them. It's such a fun thing for the family to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a free event in almost every city with the exception of New York, but we try to keep the cost down to an acceptable level. Whenever there's a possibility for free parking, everybody loves to come out to a free event, and there are very few consumer events like this where you can connect directly to the product. You have your own tester right there, your own pet that you brought to the event to try out these awesome, unique products that you can't find everywhere. Again, if you're looking for a forever friend, you can do that at the event. And we also try to be health conscientious as well, because we do low-cost vaccinations, we offer free nail trims at the event, and a lot of dog sport activities, whether it's lure coursing or agility, fly ball, small dog races. It's kind of inclusive of everything. And this weekend in Dallas, we've actually partnered with the International Cat Association, and there will be hundreds of rare breeds of cats doing an actual accredited show with judges that people can view and watch and participate in. And it's a really kind of unique feature that we're now being able to bring in the cat, the dog. We also have reptiles, birds. Pretty much we don't discriminate against any pets, and we try to be as representative as possible of all of these pets.
Well, okay, can people bring their own pets? Are there rules about this?
Yes, absolutely. We welcome pretty much any pet to the event. With dogs, we ask that they are on a fixed lead and that you provide proof of vaccination so that it is a safe environment for your pet. But there's really very few requirements. People can go online before the show and fill out a waiver form, and then they check in at the check-in table with their pets. And then they just have a great day.
Nice. Because you know what? There was a home show recently in my neck of the woods, and they advertised it as a dog show. And it said dog show noon on Saturday, dog show 3 o'clock on Saturday. Well, I went there, and first of all, I paid to get in. I paid for all the kids I brought with me. We went around the whole show. There were only two booths concerning animals at all, and they were cleaning products. And there was no show. There was no show. So I felt really cheated. I want to go and I want to see every breed there is. I want to see a whole bunch of dog sports. I want to come with a bag and get to try samples of everything. Is that what's going on at the Pet Expo?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there are commercial vendors who are selling products. And again, those are unique products. There are mom and pop vendors that are specific to the local communities. And then we have the national brands that travel with us as well. So you can do a little bit of the sampling, but you can also, again, have your pet there with you for a fun day out in an indoor space. And there's your tester right there. Or if you're having a behavioral issue that you need to ask questions about, you can do that directly with some kind of animal behaviorist. There's just all kinds of opportunities that are unique to this expo. And again, there's very few places where you can bring your family pet out to an indoor space. And one of the most unbelievable things to see is that these pets are all well-behaved. We do not tolerate any kind of aggressive pet behavior, but you get all of these pets socializing in one space. It's really incredible to see.
Nice. I agree. I've watched it for many shows.
So, Chris, okay, what's the angle for Adopt-A-Shelter? Because we are coming to the end of the segment, and I want to make sure people know how to find the Pet Expo in their area and also how to connect with Adopt-A-Shelter.
So the best, first of all, for the Dallas Pet Expo, for the folks in North Texas, please do go to hogs4paws.com. Check out our benefit ride for our pal. This is a wonderful shelter distributor that serves over 145 shelters and rescues in North Texas. So I want to make sure that people are aware of that. Aside from that, that benefit ride that starts out north of Dallas ends up at the Dallas Pet Expo. Because, like Ethan said, the Pet Expo is such a destination, we just thought marrying those two events would be a wonderful opportunity. Then I'd like to remind everybody that very soon it's Father's Day. There's a lot of folks out there that you guys know are graduating. They're the dads and grads. make sure that when you're shopping online for them, you click through AdoptAShelter.com, shop at 750-plus merchants. Everything you buy is going to help out the local shelters. And finally...
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. Yes, finally, because we're wrapping
finally,
it up.
I wanted to make sure that everybody goes to AmazingPetExpos.com. From there, they can connect to the city that's closest to them and find out what's going on.
Nice. Amazing Pet Expos. Thank you very much for being with us today, Ethan.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to say a thank you to you as well. All Paws Pet Talk Radio is a national sponsor of the event, in addition to Adopt a Shelter. So it's a privilege to be on the show. And I hope you get the chance to come out and check out one of the expos at some point in time.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute with Heather Williams, and followed by Denise, and rounding it all up with Becky Starr later in the show. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that I really do.
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we were just talking with Chris Rubin from Adopt a Shelter, adoptashelter.com. We were also talking about the Pet Expo in Dallas. You should check it out. Go there. Go to Hogs for Paws, number 4, to check out how you can get involved or maybe even ride a motorcycle or pledge some cans or just shop. Just shop the way you normally shop. At adoptashelter.com, buying the stuff you normally buy the way you normally buy it, but you click through them and they get a donation made. And that feeds homeless pets, particularly senior homeless pets, because that seems to be Chris's special project there. So right now we're going to take another turn. We were going to talk to Heather Williams. I already told you that, but she's away sick. And stepping into the breach is Sonia. Welcome to the show, Sonia, from MrGroom.com. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
It's nice to have you. I'm happy you are willing to do a live show about Mr. Groom. So what is Mr. Groom?
Absolutely. Mr. Groom is actually one of the oldest professional grooming lines in the United States. And it has a very intriguing history of how it originated. There's a famous perfume designer, Fabergé. Probably most people know of that designer's house.
The famous eggs, right?
Exactly, the famous egg, exactly. They had back in the last century, in the 20th century, in the 50s and 60s in Europe, they had a line of happy hair for humans, for ladies, which was very, very popular. It was top notch, and they came to a trade show, to a dog show in Chicago with their dog, to participate, and they were looking for a finishing product that will lusterize and condition the coat in the last minute before they go into the ring, and they really couldn't find anything they liked, and so they pulled out the happy hair spray from the ladies' bag, and they used that one. Their dog won, and they started thinking about, how can we adapt this product to be used on dogs? And that's how Show Groom actually was born. They adapted the famous happy hair for dogs, called it Show Groom because it was originally designed for show dogs specifically. And it lusterizes, it conditions, it provides sunscreen, it is a detangler as well. It's got mink oil. It is just a fantastic product that is still a bestseller. I think a lot of people have tried really hard to copy this product throughout the years, but nobody has been able so far to completely duplicate the product. It has a very, very fine mist that penetrates and lusterizes immediately. You literally can just spray the dog before it goes into the ring, and it's a transformation. Miraculous.
Okay, so I want to ask you, because I have well, I breed golden doodles and standard poodles. My poodles are apricot and red, but I run a commercial kennel, and many, many of my guests are either black or white, and I end up having to order products accordingly. So I have to buy these giant jugs of shampoos and conditioners and things so that I have some for the white dogs, some for the black dogs, some for the dogs with sensitive skin, and it gets a bit ridiculous. I would like to have one thing for everybody. Is that what you're saying? This works on all of them?
Yes, it can work on all of them. But in fact, shortly after Showgroom, they came up with a coat and skin conditioner. And the difference between the two, it is again a finishing spray conditioner. In fact, it's not only finishing, but it also cleans in between grooming. So it will clean, it will lusterize, it will make the skin as well as the coat healthy and shiny. And most importantly, it is hypoallergenic. It is for all types of coats, long and short and curly and straight. It's got less oils in it, and that way the dogs with the pet owners that have dogs with longer hair, as well as some poodles, feel more comfortable with the coat and skin conditioner.
Nice. Okay, does this stuff smell good, Sonia? What does it smell like?
Yes, and throughout the years, I'll tell you, you might see on the website the old packaging, which we still show because many people are so loyal now for so many decades, over half a century, and they were used to the old colors on the label, and they would call in and they would say, "Hey, Mr. Groom, I want the purple and the blue bottle of conditioner, or I want, you know, the orange and the green bottle of conditioner." And so we kept it for so long because we were just, people were raving about that particular label, and we are still showing that label so that people know this is a revamped label, but the same Mr. Groom original product.
Well, okay, so how would people get a hold of this? Can they get it anywhere? Is it in stores? Is it online?
Yes, for right now, the easiest way for them to get it is to go to MrGroom.com, MrGroom.com, www.MrGroom.com, MrGroom.com, and they can purchase the product directly from there. Also, if they can visit us on the Facebook page, which if they scroll down on the Mr. Groom website, they will be able to click and go to the Facebook page. And usually on the Facebook page, we will have promotional codes, announcements for new product or for currently going promotions in regards to a specific trade show. I think that we still have a drawing open for a huge basket with all kinds of Mr. Groom goodies in it. So they can take advantage of that as well, that open drawing as well. And that will be another way. We do have some catalog companies like Cherry Brook and distributors groomers, a lot of professional groomers that carry the product. But the first and easiest way for them would be to go to the website or contact us, email us as well, or telephone us as well. And depending on where they are, who they are, how much they want, we will direct them to the right place, or we can take care of their order from the headquarters here, because we don't want to leave anybody waiting for any Mr. Groom product.
Ah, that's so nice. You sound so personable. I just want to meet you. And then I want to look at your hair and see if you use these products. Do you use these products yourself?
Absolutely. Yes. And actually, anybody that gets involved with our growing company of Mr. Groom, that's the first thing that we ask of them. We say, look, you have got to try all of our products. You have got to use all of our products. You have got to decide.
Okay, Sonia, you know what? I want you to send me some, okay? Get in touch with our producer, Jack, and I want you to send me some. And honestly, I will put it in my hair. I will try it. I will. Okay. I will try it. All right, everybody. We're going to go to our next guest. That was Sonia from MrGroom.com, and she is going to send me some of this conditioner, I think. Maybe, absolutely. Maybe the show groom. I don't know what she thinks I need. I got poodle-like hair, Sonia. So just like my dogs, whatever would suit them would probably suit me. Naturally curly hair, and I want it long. And I hope I don't smell like a dog. I hope I smell like Fabergé. All right, everybody, stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining us, Sonia.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope you're doing me a favor. I hope this stuff smells good.
It does. You will do well.
Okay. Stay tuned for the report back, everybody. We'll be back in a second with Denise on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I really hope Sonia from the last segment was being truthful, that this conditioner is something she uses and that it smells like Fabergé, because I do not want to smell like a dog. I think I probably already do from being around dogs so much anyway, but I'm really hoping, because I will try that product. I will. Okay, so coming up next, now we've got Denise Fleck, and we're talking about Sunny Dog Ink. Welcome to the show, Denise.
It is bow wow wonderful to be here, Deb. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. I'm just, oh my goodness, that's just quite the greeting you've got there, Denise. Bow wow wonderful. Wow. Well, it isn't a catastrophe, that's for sure. But bow wow wonderful. Sunny Dog Ink. What is Sunny Dog Ink?
Sunny Dog Inc. is an educational company that I founded many moons ago when my own yellow lab had a back injury. I was a studio publicist at the time, feeding human egos, and wanted to do something that made a difference. So I left my job and I totally went to the dogs, the cats, the rabbits, all of the animals, learning how to help, because I never wanted to be caught unprepared when my pet had an injury. We got Sunny the help she needed, and she bounced back to her amazing Labrador self. But I just have been training and practicing and doing everything I can to help people help their pets before they get to veterinary care.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so what kind of dog is Sunny? A lab? Is that what you said? Labrador Retriever?
Yes, Sunny was a yellow Labrador Retriever. She's crossed the Rainbow Bridge quite some time ago now and has sent many other dogs my way to care for.
Who have you got right now? What kind of dog?
Right now, I have an Akita and a Chiquita. Bonsai the Akita and Haiku, he's a Chiquita because he has a little chow in him.
Oh, my goodness. Chow Akita. I mean, I was going to say, when you said Akita, well, that normally, when I meet them in training sessions, it's because they've bit somebody. Usually someone like the gardener or the neighbor. Usually someone that they maybe should know, but isn't in the inner circle, because they have some problems defining that sort of outer circle from stranger. They're great watchdogs on property. What have you got any problems with your Akita and your fighting dog, Chow, Akita Cross? Oh, my goodness.
I honestly haven't. You know, there can always be a bad apple in anything, whether it be a human or an animal, but I have found them to be an amazing breed, and they're actually a lot more like teddy bears than grizzly bears, but you need to know the breed, and they can be territorial. The first Akita I had was fabulous with other people, but she wouldn't let them cross the threshold of our doorway unless we first took her out on leash, met the people on the driveway, and then we all walked in together. That way she knew it was okay. But she didn't want anybody to cross her doorway.
Yeah, it was okay for you. It was okay for her. The poor guest is trembling. The guest is thinking, why do we have to do all of this? Why won't your dog just love me like the golden retriever you used to have? But you know what? That's just the way it is. In a pinch, you're going to be glad that Akita's there to defend your property. I just met a guy yesterday in a wheelchair, never met him before. And we were talking about his dog. His dog, there's nothing wrong with his dog, but I have a litter of golden doodles coming and he might be interested in one. And he was just asking me a few questions about the wheelchair and about things to do with that. And he just casually mentioned, I said, you got a really good dog here, pointing to his 8-year-old shepherd. And he said, oh yeah, that dog saved my life. And you know, people say that all the time, saved my life. Like, you know, I was lonely and then he came into my life and he saved my life. No. This guy would have burned in a fire if not for the dog. Sometimes the dogs really give back, don't they, Sonia?
Oh, they absolutely do. And I hope I don't have to put mine to the test, but my female Akitas have more so even than the males been my Velcro dogs, and they stick to me. And I have no doubt that if I was in trouble, they would be there for me.
Did you rescue them, Denise?
Yes. Actually, I think pretty much all except the dogs that my parents had before me, I think they've all pretty much been rescues. And some I sought out, but I will tell you, Deb, over the last, I guess, 15 years, they've found me. Every time there's been, you know, an opening in the household, somehow one has found its way to me. So I feel blessed.
You know, people think that's a little, I don't know, quirky or eccentric, a thought, but I found that as well. I once had my best friend arguing with me, telling me, you know, after I'd had to have my dog who had spinal myelopathy and was sick for years and couldn't walk and all this stuff, eventually he had to be put down when he couldn't move around at all. And you know, she kept telling me, you just go get yourself a border collie, go get yourself something to take to the pet shows, you know, get yourself a fancy trick dog, just go find a puppy somewhere, go. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. It'll come to me. And sure enough, this lady checks in with a blue heeler at the time, this is decades ago now, checks in with a blue heeler and, you know, abandons it, basically. Totally untrained dog with every problem you could think of, head shy, hand shy, not house trained. Just my kind of project, right? And it just when I needed it most. And so I think sometimes they do find you, and cats in particular. Cats will mutiny. They will just leave a situation and go find a better house if they can find one close by. So sometimes they just show up right when you need them most and right when they need you most.
Yes, I was going to totally chime in with that about kitties, because generally the cats do pick their adopters, not the other way around. But it does happen with dogs too.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's some dogs who are desperate, and they'll warm up to anyone. They'll try and win over anyone. They do the big sales job when the people come to look at them. But there are other dogs that they barely register someone coming until the right energy comes in. The right person comes, and then that dog's doing the little sales pitch, walking up and sitting down, putting its head in their lap, you know? So some dogs are pretty picky. But I do find that cats are discerning from the get-go. And sometimes it's hard when you go to a shelter to pick a dog or a cat, because the way they act at the shelter isn't the way they're going to act when they're confident and happy, secure. So sometimes it's hard, right?
That's totally true. But I just so impress upon people to do their homework. Besides my pet first aid classes, I teach a high school animal care class at an animal shelter. And that's one of the first things we go over with, to really get to know the breeds, even though each animal is a unique individual, but learn some of the basic characteristics. If you're not going to brush a long-haired cat, don't get a long-haired cat. Make sure, you know, everybody in the family is on board with adopting. There's so many things you need to think about so that when you make that commitment, it is for the lifetime of the pet, and that it's a good match, that you guys can live and stay together in harmony.
I see so many things on TV that are counter to that, like Christmas morning and the present gets opened and there's the puppy. And I think, oh, yeah, puppy under the tree. Somebody get the puppy out of the room with the tree, please. You know, that's a disaster waiting to happen. You see all sorts of stuff that just makes you think of that sort of Kodak moment. But, you know, do you really want a border collie if you don't own a farm and you have no sheep and you're not a marathon runner? Do you really want, maybe you do. Maybe the three-legged one that needs adoption is the one for you, or the senior one, but not the hyperactive one-year-old or puppy if you don't have time and you work all day. So I think you're so right to coach people on getting it right from the start. So, okay, do they go to Sunny Dog Inc.? Is that how they find out more, Denise?
Absolutely. It's sunnydoginc.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We've run out of time. If you could leave them with one thought, what would it be?
Spend quality time each and every day with your pet. Put that cell phone down, stop texting, and really tune into them and get to know the wonderful creature under the fur coat.
Oh, nice. You can also use your phone to take great pictures of them and send them to All Paws Pet Talk Radio, because we love seeing the pictures. But don't use your phone to do other things when your dog or your cat is looking for your attention. I totally agree with that. All right, everyone. And I am guilty of that. I am guilty of paying more attention to the picture I'm trying to get of the dog than the fetch game he's trying to play with me. So, yeah, put your phone away and play fetch instead of photographing it once in a while. Thank you for that advice, Denise. And everybody stay tuned. We'll be back with Becky in a moment on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
You know
I really
you
do.
I really
do. Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, coming to you from Camp Good Dog, where we are on puppy watch. That's right. I've had a few sleepless nights. I put the baby monitor in my room just for old time's sake. No, because I'm on puppy watch. And Miss Scarlett has made it completely clear that she will not be having her puppies in the house, which I would prefer, but she would like to have her puppies in the barn. And so now I have to go out there every couple hours and check on her all night long and keep a baby monitor on. And she looks fine, but I'm kind of tired. So we're on puppy watch. When the golden doodles start coming into the world, I will be posting the pictures on Facebook Camp Good Dog if you want to check it out. And we finally set up a Camp Good Dog Instagram. So if you're into Instagram and you want to find us, it's Camp Good Dog out there in Instagram land. But I'm Deb Wolf, and we're talking to Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group today. As always, rounding out the show at the end just to give it that touch of class. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Well, good morning, everybody, and all you pet lover guardians out there. Glad to be back today.
Well, are you still glad when I tell you we haven't finished flying with your pets?
No, I'm so excited. I can't get my seatbelt in fast enough.
There you go. I mean, you know, take a plane, take a trip. Okay, we did. We went through the driving. We went through the leave them at home, take them with. We did all kinds of travel. And we got to plane, sort of, didn't we? You said we did.
We did the the cars. We did the buses. We did the updates on the trains. All the new laws. And we started the whole pet thing, but we can certainly review some of the most interesting things that one should be aware of. So let's get flying here.
All right.
One of the first things that is the most important thing, besides all the things you and I are going to talk about of how to be prepared, is to whatever airline you decided to fly, whether you're flying with your pet or flying
this
without your pet.
Okay, I could get this one right. Call head office. That's what you taught me last time.
Call head office. Don't trust the internet rules and regulations because they're outdated. You arrive at the airport to find out you are not flight ready. Now, is there a second quiz here, Deb?
No more quizzing. I'm not as confident. I take the money. I don't want to play for double. I'm out. Okay. No, I realized that I started with a bang, and you know what? Maybe I should just back off the quiz idea. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we won't test you, but you're going to remember this right away. You got your flight set, you got your instructions set, you know what you're doing. The big thing, again, remember that they always require current health certifications and proof of vaccinations.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Ding, 3 months.
Yeah, most of them have a time limit. Now, they can all be different, but remember that if you went to January for your annual checkup with your dog and you're flying in August, that certification may be outdated. So when you find out from the airline of how current all this information must be, then set your vet appointment time to fit that requirement, or you'll get to the airport and they'll go, oh, no, this is a month too late. You can't get on the plane. So that's the second thing. The third thing is make sure you have all current tags, all the important information with you, pictures of your pet, copies of medical records, any medications that you may need that your pet is on. Be prepared in case, because let's face it, in today's world, there are delays. There are, you know, you're sitting in an airport for 5 extra hours that you don't count on. There can be weather conditions that put you back for days somewhere. So always plan ahead of the supplies your pet needs for, you know, it'd be good to be a week extra, you know, even in case your vacation is so much fun, you don't want to come home on time. So plan ahead to have those kind of things. We know that you have to meet the carrier regulations and sizes. I don't know if everyone knows this, but any dog 20 pounds or under can actually fly on the plane with you now. But,
okay, but you can't fake it. You can't, like, get your dog a little corset and start pretending, put him on a crash diet like a bodybuilder. We're going to make it, buddy. We'll get under 20 pounds. No. If he's 25 or 30, you miss it. You can't argue the inches. You can't argue the breed. They will weigh him. They seriously will put him on the scale.
They will.
And then he will be fat shamed. No, not really. But
yeah.
He will.
suddenly your dog's going down below and you're not prepared for that at all. So yeah, it is 20 pound regulation. And of course they have all their own carrier types, et cetera.
Well, I've had trouble with that in the past when someone's wanted to buy a puppy, because my puppies are giant, you know, they're large breed dogs. They grow to be 55 to 75 pounds, but they, sometimes someone will want to buy one and they live somewhere else and I don't transport. I won't send them in a plane. The people have to come get them. And the dog still has to be, he has to be old enough. The puppy has to be old enough to get his vaccines, but small enough to fit in the compartment with them. And there's only maybe 10 days where that's, both those things are true.
Right.
It's a tricky time, right?
They
you got to plan
fast.
It right. If you're considering buying a dog from a breeder that you've researched and you love and they're somewhere else and you're going to fly in and get the dog and fly it up, really look into the timeline of the weight. Really get a handle on this, because this is important.
It is. Not only is that a very important part, and I'm glad you brought that up, but it's also the weather conditions. Remember that when it's too cold or it's too hot, a lot of the airlines refuse to fly the animal due to respiratory problems and obvious, you know, problems of delays or being stuck somewhere and the animal can't handle the heat or the cold, especially what I call smoosh face, flat nose dogs. They will not fly them at all if it's too hot or too cold. So not only the size, but the weather is a plan when you're making these reservations. So we know now, you know, we have to watch the vet appointments, the regulations, the size, the weather, that you're prepared with all supplies needed for any kind of emergency situations. But now, how do we make them happy when we get to the airline? First of all, you want to feed them hours ahead of time so they don't have an urgency to go potty while you're on that flight. You want to, you know, give them water, you know, again, plan a half hour before the flight to stop all water and food. Make sure they go potty the minute you get to that airport and let them, you know, walk around before you walk in the doors. In their carriers, you know, make sure they have their comfortable blankie or their favorite toy or a chew toy. Have a little container of water with a lid so it doesn't leak, but that you can give them some during the flight, especially if it's a long flight. And this is, of course, for taking your animal on the plane with you. There are some differences when your pet is going to travel in cargo. They have a different kind of carrier. You must attach some water, you know, for that flight, but you want to make sure that the minute that plane bumps a little, you know, that all their water doesn't splash out and then they're laying in water and wet and cold, you know, for hours at a time, right? So you want to make sure you have comfort zone things for them, whether in the plane with you or in cargo.
There is a lot you can do with training. Like, I've taught dogs to use the kind of bottle you have in a bunny cage. It's very easy to do. You know, if you've taught your dog to drink out of a squirt bottle, you can make this leap. If you know in time, though, right? So, and the same with the cage. What I want to caution you on, though, is these special treat items. If you've never tried it before, travel day is not the day to try it. Right?
No.
You think, oh, it's so small. I'll give him this bone for the journey. What if he's allergic? What if he gets a piece stuck? This is not the time for experiments, right?
No. You only do what you already know and are comfortable with, because you don't want them choking or becoming allergic to anything. Anything can happen, right? Especially when they're stressed during this whole journey to begin with. So, and it's a good point you brought up. All these things should be tried and work with before you ever get to the airport. If you know you're going to be going somewhere, start, you know, putting them in their little carrier. Start putting them in their cage. Start showing them how to use the water bottle. You know what you're doing. Don't try anything new. It's like on TV, you know, don't let your children try this. You know, be prepared and
well, and that's for the sedatives too. I want to say that because I know you're going to come to it next. When you get a recommendation from a vet, say you have a really long journey, or you're not sure if your dog's going to handle it well, it's first time, or maybe your dog's nervous anyway. You might want to go to your vet and get them to tell you what type of drug would work and what dose. It may be something simple like Gravol. It may be something else that they prescribe themselves. But you can't just wing the dose. You can't just take a people medicine and say, oh, my dog's about the same weight as my kid, so that'll work. No, they're different biology. So you need to figure it out. And then ask your vet for enough of the prescription so you can do a test trial of it at home when you're not traveling. Because you'll be able to tell if it's too strong or too weak, or maybe something that your pet just doesn't agree with him at all. It's supposed to make them calmer, but not unconscious and not sick. So you have to kind of figure it out, right?
Absolutely. And that's the next kind of big final thing for you, because you're kind of prepared ahead of time. You're working with your animal before the actual trip. And then you've got everything set up for the trip. You're set up for, you know, any emergencies that delay your flights. But that's a big one. Many people think they know their dog, right? Fido, Fluffy, everybody's all calm when they're in the car. They're calm on, you know, things that you've done with them before. But being on an airplane, you know, the sounds, the vibrations, the altitude changes, even as calm as your dog might be, you may see a whole new dog the minute that plane engine starts up and starts to go. I know I have a dog who loves to do everything, and, you know, I saw her start the panting, you know, and her nervousness, and you could just see the whole change in her body. And so I do highly recommend that whether you, actually both things, there are a lot of natural remedies out there that you can research, find online, you know, just type in, you know, calming, relaxing, supplementation, you know, for your cat or dog, and read about them, learn about them, buy them, try them ahead of time before the trip in case you're anti-pharmaceuticals. But I will also recommend that you take an anti, you know, the pharmaceutical with you just in case the natural remedies don't do the job. Because, you know, natural remedies are the best way to go in any case, but they don't always act fast, and they might take some time to work, might take your animal time to adjust to them, and in some moments you can't have the time to wait. So get a few of your, you know, your little Valiums, doggy downers, let's call it, from your vet, so that you do have that on hand just in case, because it does happen, and you don't want your pet anxiety ridden through the whole trip, because then you're anxiety ridden and the whole plane gets anxiety ridden and everybody's throwing Xanax to each other because they can't handle what's going on in your seat with your pet. So yes, it's very important for you to do your homework regarding what you're going to do.
Hey, Becky, that mm-hmm. sounded a lot like a personal story there.
It does.
I don't think I want to fly with you. Oh, my goodness. Are you the nervous Nelly with the dog that you won't stop fussing over under your seat? Oh no.
Absolutely. I am compulsive, obsessive, worry person. Yep.
Here
no, I admit
again.
To it. I admit to it. I'll tell you, you know, it's funny because we can be educated for disaster, right? We can be prepared. We can feel like we're on top of it. But when it actually hits, come on, most of us have a little bit of anxiety and panic disorder hit for the moment.
Somewhere, yeah. Yes. You know what? We were supposed to talk about fleas and other things today. And I could make some really bad puns about how I'm itching to talk about it. But, you know, I'll save them for next week because we're running out. And we've been talking with Becky Starr from Redstone Media Group, which covers animal wellness, equine wellness, feline wellness, IVC Journal, Canadian Dogs, and AHVMA Journal. So a whole bunch of pet magazines. And we're talking to Becky every week, pretty much. And I guess next week we'll be talking about the itchy, scratchy problems, won't we?
That's right. And we are done traveling. Now we're gonna attack the next segment of what spring and summer brings to our poor little pets.
There you go. So, good. I could put my feet up. I'm finally home with all my stuff. It's so good to be home. Why did I ever leave? Okay, travel's over. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
It was exhausting. You know?
It was. I'm worn out.
The airline
I gotta go find that Xanax.
Oh, you know, the lady beside me, allergic to pets, but she wasn't allergic to pets. She was just irritating. Yeah, I'm glad to be home. Well, Becky, we'll be back next week. We'll stop our virtual travels and we'll come back to Earth and talk about fleas. And it may not be the topic you think. It won't be disgusting. I'll throw in some pet news and entertainment. We'll have some other guests as well. And when Becky and I talk, we'll tell you some stories. We'll mix it up a little bit. It won't just be the, you know, the science version of the life cycle of the flea. Don't worry. We won't do that.
God, no.
No,
too
that
boring.
Would be a horror story. It's a horror story. Have you ever seen those pictures in the vet office? Those giant blow-ups. It's like, do, coming to get your family.
And they're so ugly. They're so ugly. Yeah, they leave quite a visual.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, come back with us next week. Until then, I will have some puppies to see on my Camp Good Dog Facebook site. And we'll be talking to you until then. Be good to your animals. From Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Deb Wolf and Becky Starr. Be good to your animals. And anytime you're near. Okay.